Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine ND, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hey, welcome back to the podcast. I hope everybody's having a great week and great weekend. This is the end of the weekend. This is probably the fifth time I've recorded this podcast to you. We are having some technical difficulties and we're working through those. It's a growing process, right? It's a learning process. So I'm going to try to get through this podcast quickly, not to cut you guys out of any information, but in order to get it all recorded. So there's also a cat in the office with me. So if you hear some funny things, that's what's going on here. So before we get started on the content of this podcast, which we're talking about the fat part of the book, Salt, Sugar, Fat, The Way the Food Giants Hooked Us by Michael Moss. Before we get started on that, I want to quickly share with you a comment that I received from somebody I've worked with in the past who's been doing all this work, this challenging work, and seeing really fabulous results. So Matt posted this on my Facebook page, so you can go and find it. But this is what he wrote. He wrote, "My moment of truth was in June of 2018. At 475 pounds and with an A1C of 9.9, Delaine gave me 3 months to naturally reverse my diabetes. 99% of doctors would have put me on insulin and likely an early death. Delaine armed me with information. Intermittent fasting is a huge part of my success. Delaine taught me to eat what I could find in nature, not in a box or a bag. Today I have an A1C of 4.9, I weigh 290 pounds, and I'm off all medications. The 3 blood pressure pills, the metformin twice a day are all gone. I sincerely feel I owe my life to this wonderful woman, mother, and doctor. I wholeheartedly recommend her to anyone seeking to improve their health, lose weight, and reverse their diabetes and gain control of their life." So this is what this work can do for somebody. It's amazing. Matt always tells me, or he always credits me with this work, but what I know is I showed him a path and he had the courage, he had the bravery, he had the wherewithal to really walk that path. It's a hard path. It's not easy. And he had the courage to get on that path and walk it. So yay to Matt. Kudos to Matt. Strong work, Matt. You've done amazing. So if this sounds like something you're interested in, if you're interested in having these fabulous results, an almost 200-pound weight loss, dropping your A1C from 9.9 to 4.9, if this sounds like something you're interested in, this is what I talk about in this podcast, how we go about doing that. Today, we're going to talk about fat. I read through this section of this book, and I found it really challenging to decipher. I was trying to reconcile what I knew about fat, what dietary experts recommended about fat, and then what the medical community said about fat, and then what this book brought to the whole conversation. It was a lot of stuff to put together. So let's start with the bottom line of what Michael Moss's book says about fat. What he found was that the food industry has used fat in a synergistic way with sugar and refined carbohydrates to exploit the richness that fat adds to food. Also, the food industry has made it almost undetectable for us to realize where the fat is. So the food industry actually calls this component, this thing that fat adds, they call it moreness, more of something. It's really challenging to define, though. And part of that is our biology and our neurology. And I'm going to talk about that here in a minute. But what the studies found, what the scientists found, was that human test subjects could very reliably detect and estimate the amount of sugar and sweetness in a food, but were very unreliable in detecting the amount of fat in a food. When the fat was added with something like flour to make like a biscuit, it would make it fluffy and flaky, while at the same time packing it with an oomph that made it something more. When we added it to flour and sugar, it would make like a cream puff. That cream puff would melt in your mouth. That melting part was the fat. That's what makes us have that sensation. When we add it to things like cookies or chips or crackers, it gives it the crunchiness. The scientists have also found that it adds shelf life and stability to baked goods like bread or Otis Spunkenmeyer muffins. So the food scientists have found that adding the fats to the food does all these wonderful things that we love. Plus, it lights up that same reward complex in our brain that's lit up when we eat high sugar foods, or when we engage in sexual activity, or when we do things like gambling, or when we use illicit drugs. This reward system, this reward complex in our brain, lights up with all of these foods, and fat lights that reward complex up as well. But what they found was the combination of fat with the sugar or the simple carbohydrates is more potent than either component alone. The added fat is almost imperceptible to the human taste, and that all together, the lighting up of this, the synergistic lighting up of this reward complex in combination with our inability to perceive the fat makes it very challenging to know when it's time to stop eating these foods. So our nervous system has receptors for bitter, for sour, for salt, and for sweet, but it has nothing for fat. The scientific community has been contemplating adding a fifth taste to these four basic tastes. It's the sense of umami. It's the sense of savory or a beef or a broth-like taste. But even that's not really representing fat. Umami is not the moreness that fat adds to our foods. It's not the quality of airiness with the feeling of melting, along with the ability to make these foods rich to the human senses. So adding the fat to carbohydrates like flour or sugar makes these foods ultra alluring to the human being. Phrases like once you pop, you can't stop, or bet you can't eat just one, those phrases aren't just catchy. They were based on scientifically developed effects of these foods to stimulate that reward center in our brain with the precision and intensity of a laser beam, all with the intent of selling us on more foods, regardless of the consequence to our health. So the take-home message from this part of the book is similar to the rest of the book. Processed foods are sneaky little bastards, and you should stay away from them. They don't provide any real nutrition that can't be found somewhere else in a better form. They're packed with foods or with things with additives that actually make your human body ill, and they're formulated in a way that makes you addicted to them. Stay away from them. That's the bottom line. So now I want to talk kind of about the history of fat in America and kind of what the recommendations are about fats. So in the 1940s and 50s, the USD launched a low-fat, no-fat campaign. They started removing not only added fats from our foods, but they started processing out foods that had a naturally large amount of fats in them. They started processing out that natural fat that was already there. What ended up happening was we added more carbohydrates and salts to these foods because they no longer tasted great. So fats make our food taste good. When we remove fat from a food, a natural food like yogurt that's naturally high in fat, it tastes bad. So then we add things like sugars, things like strawberry yogurt. It's not just strawberries added to a low-fat yogurt. When we take the fat out, although I will say, if you add berries to a high-fat yogurt, it tastes very good. It doesn't need anything more added to it. But when we take that fat out and we try to make it strawberry yogurt, then it doesn't taste good. So we add things like sugar or high-fructose corn syrup or artificial sweeteners. If you look on the label of Yoplait strawberry yogurt, especially Yoplait low-fat strawberry yogurt, you will see there's the addition of sugars, whether it be plain sugar or more than like the high fructose corn syrup. So not only does fat make our food taste good, but in its moreness, it gives us a sense of being full. This also goes away when we remove the natural fats from our food. So we add to our menu carbohydrate-rich, carbohydrate-laden foods that are quote-unquote naturally low in fat, things like oatmeals with our breakfast, or breads, or pastas, or rice. And we do this in order to fill up on foods where we're no longer getting full on the fats in our food. So what we've seen with this is since the 1950s, with the onset of low-fat and no-fat foods in America, the obesity rates in America have drastically climbed. They've skyrocketed. I found two sources citing the rate of obesity in America in the 1950s around 15%. versus the rate of obesity in 2010 climbed to about 35%. A recent study from 2015 from the National Center for Health Statistics showed that obesity in American adults was around 39.6. Basically, from the 1950s, when we launched this low fat, no fat campaign, our obesity rate at that point was 15% and has climbed in our low fat, no fat living to almost 40% in the average American adult. So the government and the dietary guidelines supported this low fat, no fat recommendation for years, and then realized all these stats were showing some really bad trends. They realized that maybe removing all these natural fats from our foods, foods that naturally have a lot of fat in them, processing out that fat and then adding carbohydrates and sugars to make them taste good wasn't really making us overall healthier. So they quietly made modifications to these low-fat, no-fat recommendations, but didn't make any major announcements with this. Which is interesting because what also this book really points out is that the guidelines and the USDA and the FDA, they work for both sides. They work for the food manufacturers and they also work for the American people. And sometimes those two things collide and they clash, and it's hard to serve both at the same time. So what health experts and the government have realized, of course, is that obesity is related to so many chronic health conditions like heart disease and diabetes. And it's clear that the increase in the consumption of processed foods has been having a net negative impact on our health. What they haven't addressed is how the neurochemistry associated with these highly processed foods makes it a bigger problem to the American disease state because it's so hard to let go of those foods then. So here's what the medical literature says. The American Family Physician is a journal published by the American Academy of Family Physicians. It published a Diets for Health, the Goals and Guidelines. And then there was another publication, basically a literature review looking at cardiovascular benefits, what lifestyle changes and modifications can be made to give Americans cardiovascular benefits. So this gets kind of sticky, but I'm going to go through this and try to make this as clear as possible. There are three types of fats. There's your saturated, your polyunsaturated, and then your monounsaturated fats. All of these fats are essential to the human body, and every fat-containing food has a ratio of each of these three types of fat. Each type of dietary fat affects your risk of heart disease differently. In a shotgun approach to decrease the risk of heart disease in the 1940s and 50s, we just removed all of this, not really looking at which type of these three fats, whether it was saturated, poly, or monounsaturated, that was the issue and which we really needed to remove. Of course, this overall had an increase in refined carbohydrates and calories in our diets, has led to an increase in things like serum triglyceride and bad cholesterol levels in our blood, an increase in the rate of obesity and type 2 heart disease or type 2 diabetes. And there's been no decrease overall in heart disease in Americans related to this change in our dietary fat consumption. So those three types of dietary fats have different effects on the heart disease. When compared to saturated fats, increasing the intake of unsaturated fats, both poly and mono, causes a decrease in the risk of coronary artery disease. It seems that decreasing saturated fats would also be beneficial, but that's not what they found. They found that plant-based saturated fats actually have a positive effect on serum cholesterol levels. So we went through and we tried to say it was saturated fats, take less of those, do more unsaturated fats, but what we found is there's no evidence that really supports that. So your monounsaturated fats include things like olive oils, nuts, avocados, and they certainly have a beneficial effect on preventing coronary artery disease or cardiovascular disease. Polyunsaturated fats are things like omega-6 and omega-3, and this is where it gets kind of sticky. Omega-3s are found in fish and then nuts and then some in canola and green vegetables. There is an optimal ratio to enhance the benefits for cardiovascular disease between your omega-3 and your omega-6s. Consuming too much omega-6 in comparison to your omega-3 leads to the activation of an inflammatory pathway in your body. This causes an increase in things like thrombosis or heart attacks and strokes. This causes an increase in things like vasospasm. Those are like muscle aches, joint aches, really muscle aches, and then like chest pains, what we call angina. This leads to an increase in things like cancers. This leads to an increase in things like obesity. This leads to an increase in allergic reactions and also inflammatory disorders. So increasing your foods with these omega-3s while decreasing that omega-6 use, which is things like corn oil and vegetable oil, will increase that ratio of omega-3s to omega-6s, and that will lead to health benefits, including decreasing these inflammatory disorders that we've seen. So this omega-3 to omega-6 business sounds really complicated. I know, but try to remember, sticking to things that are found in nature, fish, nuts, and veggies is always the right answer. Omega-6s are found in things like your corn oils and your vegetable oils. What I want to offer to everybody about those, everybody thinks that corn oil is the right thing. We should be eating corn oils. Corn is not a naturally oily substance. We have to do a ton of processing to corn to make it oily. Anytime that we as humans get in there and tinker with our food, we're usually screwing it up. So we need to stay away from those things. And that's why finding oily things in nature are always going to be the right answer. It's long been accepted that saturated fats are bad and that poly and monounsaturated fats are good for you. But what it turns out is that saturated fats from vegetables are just as good for you as the poly and monounsaturated fats are. The one thing I will point out strongly here, please hear this, trans fats are the devil. They are bad for you. They will make you sick. They are so bad for you that we have actually banned them by law. So if you are eating something that has trans fats in it, you really need to stop that. That is truly dangerous and will make you sick. So some other pearls that I gleaned from this research. Focus on omega-3s from things like fish oil and plant sources. We know that's beneficial. Another pearl, eat nuts, especially peanuts. It's been associated with lower rates of diabetes, lower rates of heart disease, lower body rates, and overall lower mortality rates. When you're eating nuts, not just peanuts, but any nut, as a part of the Mediterranean diet, there's high quality evidence that shows a decrease in age-related cognitive decline, things like dementia and Alzheimer's. So make sure you're making that a part of your diet. And then lastly, eggs we know are high in cholesterol, but not in saturated fats. And studies have actually shown that the consumption of 1 to 2 eggs per day does not contribute to an increased risk of heart disease. So in general, saturated and unsaturated fats have been found to be beneficial or have beneficial effects on the risk of our cardiovascular disease, on our risks of cardiovascular disease. Eating saturated fats from plant sources is best for you. Eating polyunsaturated fats with more omega-3 fat is ideal. Eating monounsaturated fats from things like olive oils, nuts, and avocados are going to be beneficial for cardiovascular disease. Staying away from processed foods with fats in them is imperative, not only because of the poor health profile of those fats that are used, but also the combination of those refined sugars and carbohydrates with the fat is especially captivating to our human minds, and it makes it very difficult to stop eating those things. I hope you guys have found this helpful. If you have any questions, you know I want to hear them, let me know. If you're interested in getting results like Matt did, an almost 200-pound weight loss and a drop in your A1C, hit me up for a consult. Send me a message at delaine@delainemd.com and let's set up some time for a consult and see what kind of amazing work you can do. This work is amazing. Not only does your health improve, but so many other areas of your life improve. If that sounds like something you're interested in, let me know. Let's talk. All right, guys, live healthy this week and I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.